Hello and welcome to Two Old Guys on the Back Porch, here to make your day a little bit brighter. I am Steve Scotch, and we have the lovely and talented Kat, that's C-A-T, driving the flaming wheelie bus. Kat, get this party started.
Hey, how y'all doing? We can be found on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and all your premier podcast platforms. We also can be found on Facebook and Instagram. And if you found us, either one of us on TikTok, we'll TikTok to you. We're going to shout out two towns today in the northwestern part, I would think, of the United States that are listening to us. The first city is Seattle, Washington. Seattle is a vibrant city with gorgeous natural surroundings, a thriving cultural scene, and thriving tech industry. Microsoft and Amazon are both from Seattle, Washington. Our other town is Winnipeg, Canada. Winnipeg is known as the gateway to the West. Winnipeg is also a railroad and transportation hub for its diversified economy. Giving y'all a round of applause.
All right. Alcohol is always here on the back porch. And I like to savor every moment. One sip at a time.
You got choked a minute ago.
I know. Well, I'm trying this new Bullet Bourbon single barrel, and it's 104 proof, which I didn't know until I got it home. Love Bullet Bourbon. This one is kicking my butt. What you got, Cap?
I have got what I would call is a Hugo 75. It's a Hugo spritz with some lovely gin in it. So it's a Hugo 75.
Ooh, sounds sweet like you, babe.
Thanks, doll.
All right, today we're going to complain about all the complaining. The reason the art of complaining came up is...
Because you're a master at it.
I really started listening to people in my circles, and I noticed that some of them don't open their mouths unless it's to voice their displeasure about something. And Kat just mentioned before I could say anything that I myself can find the negative side of something in a second. Can I, Kat?
It is always a glass half empty.
Not always. I think I got it from my mother.
Yes, you did.
You know, supposedly we all complain about something between 15 to 30 times a day, which I beg to differ. I know people who can hit that number in one conversation. Whether it's true or not, I don't know. Supposedly, Stanford University found out that complaining reduces the size of your hippocampus. What's a hippocampus? It's the part of your brain responsible for memory and problem solving. Stanford University did a study that found that complaining too much or listening to someone constantly complaining, it's actually bad for your brain. Another study found that 80% of our conversations are complaining. 80 freaking percent.
That's just not worth living if that's what you're doing 80% of the time.
That's like almost every time you open your mouth, you're bitching about something. Now, I know some people who only open their mouth when they want to voice their displeasure. I know people that if you gave them a pot of gold, they would complain that the pot wasn't made out of gold. Next time you talk with a friend, relative, whoever, really listen to what they're saying. And I bet most of it is negative, or maybe it's just me and the circles I run in. Maybe it's we're getting older. And their friends and coworkers are getting older. And that's just what old people do, right?
Bitch and complain. It's either they bitch and complain or they talk about death. Who died? Who's going to die? Who's in bad shape? Who's really in bad shape?
They
could die.
I am sick of that. I'm sick of the death talk.
Yes, it's morbid.
It's too hot. It's too cold. It's too wet. It's too dry. It's too big. It's too small. It doesn't matter what the situation is. There's going to be a complaint. You know, I am personally trying to stop bitching about everything. And it's hard to stop.
I can't wait for that to happen.
You know, just say I'm going to leave here and go to the liquor store. I pull out of here, get on the main road, and boom, there's somebody on my bumper. I get to the liquor store. They don't have what I want. I bitch. It's hard. It's
hard. Yeah, but today I had this guy who obviously had ants in his pants and wanted, it was in a Porsche, and he wanted to get around me today. And it was and he finally did go around me. I'm like, but then by the time we got to the next light, I'm going before he is because he's, I don't know.
Don't complain. Let the Porsche go.
Yeah, let the Porsche go.
And he gets stuck at the light and after he ran over top of you.
Right.
I don't know. I've been told I got a bad temper. Might be true.
Yes.
But to defend myself, you know, I do let things get to me, but I'll wait till about the third time. You know, if there's something that's bugging me, I'll let it go once, let it go twice. By the third time, there's something I don't like, there's a good chance I'm going to go off. You know, now keeping things pent up inside, that's not good for you either. You know, sometimes you got to let it out. But living every day in the negative, all day, every day, that's definitely not healthy. You know, just run a little test on yourself before you say something. You know, say it to yourself and decide, is this another negative response to something? If it is, just, you know, hang on to it.
Well, maybe you need to find the silver lining in things. And that's hard for some people. But sometimes you need to.
You know, you hear the old cat's phrase, you know, you ask them, how you doing? And they'll say, well, I would complain, but it's not going to do any good anyway. That's true. You know, what good does it do to complain? You're not fixing the problem. You know, being around people who constantly complain, it can really bring you down. You know, just look at our society as a whole. You know, we got the Democrats bitching about the Republicans bitching about the Democrats. You know, you turn on whatever, Fox News or whatever, and it's hour after hour whining and crying and complaining about people who don't think like, you know, they do. You put on MSNBC and it's, you know,
some intelligent
hour after hour of whining and crying and complaining about people who don't think like they do. Turn on your radio, you know, sports talk radio, you know, the baseball manager needs to be fired. The Cowboys need a new quarterback. The Bears, you know, need to fire the coach. On and on and on, bitching. Hell, out here where we live, radio talk shows, believe it or not, are still on the AM dial.
Yikes. They're dying out, though. They're dying out.
And I don't know. One of them has this lady. I think her name's Dana Lash or something. I turn it on, and I tried to listen to her. And it was like about 6 minutes in, all she did was bitch. I mean, just hate. Who wants to listen to that? I don't know. You know, it's just complaining, not fixing anything. Look, we know the world's a little on edge right now. Still prices of everything through the roof.
Job market is going down, you know, despite
we still got, there's supposedly a war between Russia bombing the Ukraine for no fucking reason. 401k kind of slipping, floundering market, the whole thing. There's a lot of things to complain about right now. But, you know, try to look at all the good things you have around you. You know, don't concentrate on the negative. You know, go hug your mom. Go hug your kids. Go hug your dog. Quit complaining. I'm going to try. That's all we can do is try. All right, let's roll right into One Tough Awesome Lady. All right, this week it is Alice Ball, born in 1892 from Seattle, Washington. It's the Seattle show.
Seattle show. Starbucks for everybody.
African-American chemist. First African-American to get a master's degree from the University of Hawaii. And the university's first female chemistry professor. Alice Ball's family moved from Seattle to Honolulu, Hawaii. Now, Hawaii, there's an island over there from like 1866 till maybe the late 1960s where people suffering from leprosy were exiled to this island.
Leopard colony.
It was Maloki or something, Molokai. And at the time, the only treatment for leprosy was, I can't say it, some kind of oil, chalmugra.
Mm-hmm.
And but Alice Ball developed ethyl ester, a chalmugra oil derivative, which, well, the ethyl ester was the derivative of this chalmugra oil, which it made the oil injectable, okay, which was a major push forward in helping people who live with one of the most horrible diseases. Alice Ball developed the Ball method that changed the game in treating people with leprosy. And that makes Alice Ball one tough, awesome lady. We didn't watch anything, did we?
We did watch something, and you can cue in on this one because I think you watched it also, or at least the first half. It was a documentary. It's HBO. It was like two parts, really. It was like 4 hours, I want to say. It was long, called Billy Joel and So It Goes. It's a portrait of life of the musician Billy Joel, two-part documentary, explores his love, his loss, his struggles with his fame in his songwriting career.
The first segment was good. I always, talking about artists or bands, I always like to hear how it started.
Right.
The roots, the beginning. I always like hearing that. And, I mean, look, not a big Billy Joel guy. If you're from New York, maybe Jersey or whatever,
Long Island, you
don't have a choice.
Right.
Okay, he writes for you. Those songs are about your neighborhood.
And there was a time where he was living in California, and he just really wasn't in his...
That was early on.
That was early on, the 1970s, where if you wanted to have a career in music, you had to go to California. And he did it, and he made a few albums, but it really wasn't him. And he basically came back to the New York area, tried to go with a manager who really didn't have a clue, ended up using his wife as a manager, was using... And his songwriting really started to developing. He's always been a good songwriter. You've got to admit that.
I didn't know he was such a great piano player.
Right.
I mean, this guy's classically trained, but I don't think he took any classically.
He didn't go to Juilliard.
Trained lessons. His dad was a great piano player, but Billy didn't show him anything. But the dude is just watching that thing. Just great on the keys. And again, he started out, and like Kat said, they wanted to give him this manager, this producer, this musicians, like, you know, they wanted studio people, and he told them to stick all of it.
He wanted them to take Elton John's band or whatever.
They tried to record, and they listened to it back, and he said, "This sounds like shit. I want my band."
Right.
And they kind of gave him like a, he's hard to work with look or whatever, but not really. He knew what he was doing.
Right. And it's also, you see in it that he had a long time to develop in his career, which now doesn't really happen.
That's a good point. He had first couple albums didn't do much. I think it was The Stranger or something that kind of broke a little bit.
Right. The one he wrote in New York when he was living off the Hudson with his wife.
And he did build his career through the years. And like Kat said, nowadays it's disposable shit. You get like one chance and you're out.
You write your first album. They want it to be a hit. If it doesn't, they might give you a sophomore effort. And if that doesn't hit, you're done. You don't get any more recording contracts. I mean, nothing else is coming your way.
Yeah, the second part of that thing, a little dragged on, little self-grandeering there to me on the second part. But, I mean, you can't deny the man's talent.
It was, I think a lot of that was being a famous person. And not everybody can handle that well. And
he had a drinking spell one time.
He had a drinking issue.
Yeah. He got over it, and he's got him a 23-year-old wife now to help him. I mean, he's 43. Not...
anyway.
Personal life, don't go there.
There were four wives. Let's just say that. And the first one. Christy hung in there. Christy tried.
Seems like a great lady.
Tried to make a family, but he was on the road all the time, and he just really,
excuses.
Whatever. Anyway, if you want to see it, it was in the Cannes Film Festival. Billy Joel and So It Goes. You can probably find it on Max.
I enjoyed it. It was pretty good. It was good. Not a big Joel fan, but that was very well done. All right, do we got a shot?
We have a shot. It is the Washington Apple Shot. It's 3/4 an ounce of Canadian whiskey, 3/4 an ounce of apple schnapps, 3/4 of an ounce of cranberry juice. You can do a splash of club soda if you want a little bubbles.
All right, let's wash the apple down.
That's not bad.
Okay.
Okay.
I hate to go back to cough syrup.
Oh, Lord.
Do they even make that anymore, cough syrup?
Yeah, they make cough syrup.
Do you actually put that on a spoon and give that to your kid?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Yeah, they do.
But if they did, that's what this tastes like. All right. This week we were bumpered in with a band called The Beths. B-E-T-H-S. Beth with an S on it. Formed in 2014 from Auckland, New Zealand. Elizabeth Stokes and Jonathan Peace met in high school, added Benjamin Sinclair and Tristan Deck, and bam, we have the Beths. Kind of remind me of the band Always.
Yeah,
which is a band I really like. The Beths have opened for Death Cab for Cutie. They've opened for The National. The Beths have received positive reviews from Rolling Stone and Pitchfork. The song we were bumpered in with today is called Metal.
They're coming near us from Auckland, New Zealand, December 9th in Washington, D.C. at the 9:30 Club.
Good deal. Yes. Check out their release from this year, Straight Line Was a Lie. Go to iTunes. Get it now. Check out The Beths wherever you get your music. I want to thank everybody for hanging out on the back porch. We'll see y'all down the road.
See ya.